We are on page 7 of Heavenly Places, and the only reason we're going through it again is because last year, January 1st, did not happen on a Friday, as far as I know. And so we're going to have a whole, like, 52 more statements from Heavenly Places. And I think we could do that one more year, and then after that it's going to roll around again, and so we can't do it. You're never going to get 7. You're never going to get the whole week. Unless we do that weird Thursday thing if we want, you know. We can meet on a Friday night like we usually do, and they'll just read the day before's Heavenly Places. Like, this year we're going to be reading all the Thursdays on Friday. You know, we'll probably do that. We'll get the whole book. Because I like this book. I mean, it's kind of like, reminds me of Conflicts of Courage. In Conflicts of Courage, I just finished recently. I did one of those every single solitary day. And I don't know when I started, so if it takes a year, it took me a year. I don't know. Because every single, including Sabbath, you know, it was part of my studies. I would do the scriptures first, Spirit of Prophecy next, then the church study, which was always scripture. And then the emails. But I don't count the emails as studies. I count them as, you know, fun, you know, topical studies still, but fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy Bible study, too. It's not like it's not fun. It's just, I look forward to it. All right, so January 1st, our exalted privilege. That's the title of this one, and it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, I guess this was par for the course for this book, seeing how it's titled In Heavenly Places. They used Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6 for that particular reason, no doubt, because it mentions sitting together in heavenly places. Just getting some water. Okay, and then she goes on to say that, as God raised Christ from the dead, that he might bring life and immortality to light through the gospel, and thus save his people from their sins, so Christ has raised fallen human beings to spiritual life, quickening them with his life, filling their hearts with hope and joy. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and the devil likes to attack that last one. Well, actually, hope and joy. He likes to go after them with tooth and nail because, you know, even if you're used by the Lord, let's say, and you get a ministry and stuff like that and you do a good work, he'll go after your hope and joy as much as he possibly can to drag you down, to get you to mope, so that you're not as effective. And he does that to me a lot. I'll get, you know, knocked down a couple of pegs in my heart because, that's not because my prayers aren't getting answered, because they are. It's just I have many loved ones that I'm very concerned with, including church family loved ones. And it gets to me sometimes, and I shouldn't let it. You know, the Lord's training me in that area. He's, you know, you just pray for some joy, and he gives it to you. Or you talk to somebody who knows him, and they help you, you know, get back on track, if you will. And so that's why it's good to have a brother or a sister in the faith that you can call, you know, especially if you have a spouse that's a Christian. Oh, that's even better. Because then you just talk to your spouse, and that usually works. You know, iron sharpeneth iron. There's a reason that's in the Word. And so she goes on to say that Christ gave himself for the redemption of the race, that all who believe in him may have everlasting life. Those who appreciate this great sacrifice receive from the Savior that most precious of all gifts, a clean heart. They gain an experience that is more valuable than gold or silver or precious stones. They sit together in heavenly places in Christ, enjoying in communion with him the joy and peace that he alone can give. And some, I'm sure, especially the babes and stuff like that, you may think, okay, where's that joy? When am I going to find that joy or experience the joy? The first time I experienced it is when I had a really scary trial, my first major scary trial. And then many times after that, I had repetitive trials, and especially like when a loved one gets deathly ill and you you're concerned. What are you going to do? You're going to walk away from the Lord if he doesn't answer your prayer on that or not, you know? And it's nice to see that you can't let go of him. You know, no matter how difficult it gets, you can't turn your back on Christ, no matter how big the trial gets. And even during the trial, even though it might be a little scary and stuff like that, you know, hey, he's got it handled. He allowed it because it's the best thing for me at this time. And so that peace just comes on you, and then you have the joy back. Well, actually, it never left. It's just you have a tendency to cloud the issue so where you can't even see your own joy. But she says they love him with heart and mind and soul and strength, realizing that they are his blood-bought heritage. Their spiritual eyesight is not dimmed by worldly powers, policy or worldly aims. They are one with Christ as he is one with the Father. And especially this is good to hear this time of the year as well, because it really stands my heart when I think about, I don't see any big issue with some Christians if they want to have Christmas celebrations and stuff like that, as long as they don't do it the way the world does. But when you get to a certain position or a certain walk or a certain rung on the ladder in your walk with Christ, you get to a point where, yeah, I don't even want any part of that, you know, because you know he's not born in winter. So it's not even his birthday you're celebrating. You're gathering like the rest of the world's gathering on a specific date because they're doing it for Tammuz. And, you know, you can gild the lily all you want. It's just not going to change. And so if even someone was to offer me, you know, the moon, as long as I would come and visit them that time of the year, I says, no, I'll visit you in the spring or summer or fall or something. Just please don't ask me to visit at that time or join with you, rather, better yet, join with you at that time of the year when they do their celebrations. But because it can be very enticing. I mean, look what happened in the U.S. You know, that movie The Scrooge covers it pretty well. But the because that's more or less a true story, but not in the way people realize. Scrooge is actually us. And all the people that are doing Christmas are the Catholics. But they make it look so like the Christians, the real ones, you know, the Scrooge. They make us look so hateful and evil. They keep saying the word hate, 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 hate. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul had to tell that to the Galatians and, you know, or say that to the Galatians. But even there, let's say they don't do the Christmas thing, which most of them don't, from what I understand, real Christians anyway. And even, you know, real Christians can do it too. I'm not saying you're not a real Christian if you do Christmas. But the New Year's thing, you know, because I remember what I used to do when I was a young man on New Year's. It was just all about drinking. New Year's parties, you know, waiting for the ball to drop, you know, in Times Square, New York, even though we didn't live there. Lived in Illinois, and so the ball always dropped an hour earlier than ours, so we had to wait. And they would repeat the broadcast. Like WGN didn't have their own ball to drop back when I was a teenager, and so we would actually watch them do it in New York a second time. It would be a pre-recorded thing. And then all, you know, booze everywhere, booze and beer. It was mostly booze because not a lot of people I knew drank beer. When my parents, the way they're friends anyway. But, yeah, and this is the world. I mean, it's because people do it because everybody else does it. And but our spiritual eyesight is not dimmed by worldly policy or worldly aims. And one of the policies, of course, being, hey, it's perfectly legal to abort your baby. Or as God would say, to murder your child. Or, well, to abort your fetus is how the world would say it. They're going to gild it, you know, as best they can. So anyway, she goes on. Where did I leave off here? Yeah, their spiritual eyesight is not dimmed. They are one with Christ as he is one with the Father. Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's, of course, Titus 2:14. He made an offering so complete that through his grace everyone may reach the standard of perfection. Of those who receive his grace and follow his example, it will be written in the book of life, complete in him, without spot or stain. Now, here's something that just came to mind. you know, because we are living on a planet with over 7 billion people. And I know in my neck of the woods, I don't know anybody out here that keeps Sabbath. I mean, when I tell them I keep Sabbath, they think it looks like I got two heads or something. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a weirdo. I remember one of my neighbors, I finally met him after about 6 months or a year after we moved in, and the scuttlebutt in this area, they all thought I was a Jehovah's Witness. I says, where'd you guys get that? They don't even keep Sabbath. Even though they used to. They used to be SDA. And it was weird, too. It was like they had me pegged as a, I can't remember what it was when I lived in this one town in Illinois when we moved away from the city. I can't remember what they, there was a rumor there. But that city was just one big rumor mill. That's all they ever did was spout rumors. But when you think about this, 7 billion people on the planet, and you look around, and you don't see anybody walking the way we do. So that might get you a little lackadaisical in your walk. You know? You might think, well, you know, I don't see anybody walking the way I do, so, you know, I'm not going to try that much harder because I figured, compared to me, they're all hell-bound. You know, you start getting a little bit spiritual pride, if you will. Or you start, you know, laying back, figuring, you know, there's really nobody that I know on this planet that does like, well, think about this. The Lord, you know, the scriptures, there's no lie in there. There's no deception. There's no half-truths. It's going to happen. There's going to be people on this planet that are going to be part of the 144,000. Whether they're in your neighborhood or not, they're going to be on this planet somewhere. Why not be one of them? Yeah, so what? Everybody you know, everybody you love, has no clue as to how you walk. Has no clue the turmoil you go through when you walk and you watch how they don't walk. That shouldn't change your walk. It shouldn't make you want to give up. Or at least, you know, compromise a little bit. No. Because if you do, if they eventually make the decision, they're going to come looking at you as being wishy-washy. Because I've noticed that over the years, too. You know, when people would contact me after years, realizing I really never changed. And so they would ask questions. I just got a call today from a friend of mine. Well, I've been keeping in contact with him. His name is Tony. He's got another question. He don't believe the way I do. But he always asks these questions because he knows I won't bend or bow. And that's the way we got to be. She says, she quotes, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ," Ephesians 1:3. What is there left for us to ask that is not included in this merciful, abundant provision? Through the merits of Christ, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It is our privilege to draw nigh to God, to breathe in the atmosphere of His presence. Nothing short of abiding in the presence of Christ will bring peace, freedom, courage, or power. And that's what we're praying for. I know I'm praying for it. You know, peace, freedom, courage, power, wisdom, discernment, faith. You know, bridled tongues, eyes, ears, mouth, heart, mind. We need it all. And even if the people around us are not wanting that, that doesn't matter. Because one day they're gonna have the big questions. They're gonna, you know, whether they like it or not, that day's gonna come. The problem is, for the overwhelming majority of the 7 billion, that day's gonna come moments before the sky splits, when they start seeing how the Lord is protecting us from them, and then they start seeing the sky split. Then they want to make everything right and everything nice. It's too late. They had plenty of opportunities beforehand to make the final decisions. Yeah, so if they were to get, you know, saved at that point, they'd go right back to their sinful ways if they were allowed to live on. It's been proven time and time again. So, anyway, I hope you're blessed. Be back in a minute.